Father, again, I thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. I appreciate their zeal for you, and I appreciate that we can share together in your work. As you continue to raise us up as an army to go out and do your work, Lord, I thank you for the devotion of your people to your word, and I pray that you would give us increase in wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and insight. Insight, penetrating insight that will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to be as practical as I know how to be tonight and deal with the subject of receiving healing. How to receive healing in your own life. Now, before I go any further, it's real important that you understand what I'm about to say. I had a friend of mine who said that he had a wonderful prayer life and a great relationship with God through prayer. And everything was real simple, and he walked in it, and it was wonderful. And then someone came in with one of the greatest teachings he ever had on seven steps to effective prayer, and he said it totally destroyed his prayer life. Because it just used to be natural and simple, and it wasn't by formula, and it wasn't by rote. And now he had all these other things. I know someone else that used to be real simple about receiving healing. And then they read a book about all the different ways to receive healing, and it got them confused. So there are two things to understand at the outset. Number one, if you are walking in an effective way of living healthy, and if you do get run down or sick, receiving healing from God, keep doing what you're doing. There are many things that certain people do, and I say, great, God bless them. That's not the way God's dealt with me. You can only build on what God's given you personally. You can't build on what God's given somebody else. In fact, one of the real tragedies is when people base their whole teaching, doctrine, ministry on somebody else's revelation without it being real to them. Because it doesn't produce the same goods. All it does is bring people into bondage and confusion. Even though it may sound the same, it's not based on that same experience and revelation. So that's one thing. If you're successful in what you're doing in terms of divine health or divine healing in your own life, then keep walking in that and building on it. And that goes for ministering to other people. If God's blessing is on what you're doing and you're growing, continue to do what you're doing. On the other hand, you should look at it like this. One time, when I was in Memphis, there was an all-you-can-eat buffet that had pizza, chicken nuggets, and fries. Now, all three of those things are things that I could really enjoy eating. In fact, I forgot that day that the reason when I go out for pizza I only order a certain amount is not that I can't afford more, but I don't want to eat more. Do you understand? So I overate that day, forgetting that all you can eat doesn't mean you have the right to be a glutton. But you see, that wasn't a problem, because I could pick some pizza, or I could pick some chicken nuggets, or I could pick some fries, or I could get a free refill of my soda. I could pick all those different things. All right, it's like if you're a chocoholic and there on the table are brownies, chocolate ice cream, M&M's, and peanut M&M's, and various other things, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, bittersweet, you know, all that's not a problem. Okay, it's only a problem if you're weak in the flesh. All right? So what I'm saying is maybe you enjoy just eating the milk chocolate. Well, great. But here's some other things too. In other words, what I'm saying is it's so rich. The Word has so much. It's like a buffet. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet in terms of feasting on the Word. So don't get hung up. Don't try and follow a method. Don't try and follow a formula. But just know that there's an abundance of truth in the Word, and there are many different ways that we as individuals can receive healing. Well, if you look on your outline, it's over by point number 13. But I want to deal with a number of issues that are written there, a number of issues that are not written there. First, let me say this. Actually, I have this down at point 15 on the outline. Common sense, obedience, and divine health. Let's just start at the outset and understand that God is not weird. God is not, quote, metaphysical. In other words, denying the reality of this world for, quote, higher reality. God's realistic. So, if you drive 150 miles an hour in a car, in a zone for 50 mile an hour use, you'll probably get cracked up and die. Doesn't matter how much you pray, doesn't matter how many angels you have. If you never sleep and you don't eat right, you will get sick. You will get run down. God is not going to break one law to honor His Word. Why should He honor the law of His Word, so to say, when he's got to violate another law to do it. He won't do it. So let's not get hyper-spiritual about anything. We've got to use common sense. We've got to conform to regular natural laws. I heard a fellow share one time who had a genuine healing ministry in years past. And he almost choked to death on a plane eating an omelet. And he's trying to figure out what is the matter with him. He was sick, he was having problems, and God said to him, look in the mirror. You're obese. So he had to deal with it. He had to take off the weight God told him to take off and get physically disciplined. Otherwise, he wasn't going to get healed. He wasn't going to get healed because he was violating things that God had given and God had spoken. There are also things just about our general mental attitude. It says in Proverbs 14:30, and I believe the right translation, having studied it in depth, as a tranquil heart, a peaceful heart, is the life of the flesh. Just look at some of the references here in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and then the 15th chapter. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace, a tranquil heart, gives life to the bones, to the body, but envy rots the bones. 15:4 in Proverbs, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Then over to the 17th chapter, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Just basic truth there about mental attitude, about emotions, about the state of life that someone walks in. Okay? Nothing supernatural or unusual about it. It's a universal principle that's going to work for human beings. If we allow all kinds of sinful and wrong emotions to dominate our lives, if we remove my bitterness or envy, if we're not learning to put our needs into God's hands and not be anxious, we'll be healthier. Just basic things to understand. And many times what God may tell somebody is, hey, put your life in my hands. Calm down. You're too hyper. You're too anxious. And that's why you're physically struggling. You can have hands laid on you 100 times maybe for that ulcer, and it's not going to go away until you get at peace, until you stop churning all the time about things, until you learn to put yourself in God's hands. Again, just basic things, but so many times we miss it. So many times we want to ignore step A and just get the easy way out over at step Z somewhere. And I'll tell you something. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes God's dealt with me about something in my life and I haven't obeyed Him exactly. In other words, maybe I waited a little while to do it, or I slightly put my own interpretation on it. Not really intentionally, but just kind of doing something I was supposed to do. And then when I got there, it didn't turn out the way I expected it to. I'm talking about little minor things. And my feeling is, well, God, I'm just your son. I'm just your kid. I'm doing the best I know how to do. You should have made it work anyway. You should have had everything come out just right anyhow. In other words, even though I took a left where I was supposed to take a right, I should end up at the right place. But you see, if God allowed that to happen, we would utterly, totally, completely degenerate into worthless spiritual slobs. Listen, it's like if God would work in our lives without us praying and living holy, there'd be a great temptation for many to not put the love of God first and right relationship with God first, and to just enjoy the blessings at the expense of getting further and further away from God. What I'm saying is God is not obligated to infinitely bail us out when we make mistakes. Because if we do, then we'll never learn to do what's right. We'll never live it out. None of us would treat our children like that. We'd all have to say, no, you're going to have to suffer the consequences and learn. And we'll make it a little easier on you, but you still have to learn as you go. So what I'm saying is, if we're violating basic principles of taking care of ourselves physically and emotionally, in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our life habits, if we're violating those laws, we can't then go to God, who set those laws in motion in the first place for our good, and expect Him to contradict His written, eternal, holy word and holy principles. So here in Proverbs, it tells us things that tend to health and life. And we cannot ever claim the word against another part of the word. Do you understand that? You can't be in sin and then pull down something else in the Word when the Word tells you plainly, if you cherish sin in your heart, God won't hear you. So again, just basic reminders. I trust that we know that, but we need to be reminded, because sometimes we get so spiritual in our thinking that we forget, no, we've just got to live and take care of ourselves and do what's right. That's the foundation. Now, let's say you find yourself sick, and as far as you know, you've been following the basics. And again, don't get hyper-analytical about it, but you've been following the basics. You've been basically eating right, sleeping right, taking care of yourself. As far as you know, you're not living in disobedience or an abusive way. And I feel impressed just to say this again. You may say to me, well, everything checks out. I have nothing in my heart that tells me I'm living wrong. I have no conviction in my heart that tells me the way I'm living is wrong. Well, how many days a week are you working? Well, I'm working 6 days a week, 18 hours a day, and then on the seventh day, I'm still pushing pretty hard, and so on and so forth. And you feel fine between you and God? Oh, yeah, I just feel fine. Well, let me ask you a question. Did God ever speak to you about this? Oh, yeah, that's right. About 2 years ago, he did. Well, did you act on it? No, it just kind of went away. So I just figured that he didn't care anymore. No, it's not that, but God's not going to sit there hammering us with the same thing over and over and over and over. Now, look, we've all done this. I've had things in my life that God's spoken to me, and I got in my life, and then somehow I drifted from doing it. And then years later, he'll speak the same thing, and I'll say, boy, he just spoke something brand new to me. That's so important for me to hear. Oh, man, that's going to change my life. And then I look through my notes, and I see that's the same thing he told me 2 years ago. But he kind of let me do my thing for a little while. Then when I was in a better position to recognize it, he spoke it again. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't just check out, well, right now I feel fine. Well, has God ever dealt with you about this? No, look, really, you know, I'm taking care of myself properly. I'm busy, I'm pushing, but I'm resting, I'm eating, you know, the basic right way. And there's no reason on that level. I'm not carrying around a weight of anxiety and guilt or bitterness or anger, etc., etc. All right, so those things check out. But you find yourself sick. Or you've had a lifetime sickness or a sickness for many years before you even believe that God wanted to heal you. So how do you deal with those things? How do you deal with them? Well, one thing you want to do first is make sure that the devil cannot bring an accusation of guilt against you. Obviously, anything that you're born with, anything that you've had all your life, the devil may still try and make you feel inferior or guilty, but that's just because he's a liar. And he's a dirty liar at that. And he's a malicious liar at that. So he wants to damage your confidence in God. If the devil can get you feeling like a second-rate citizen and that you're guilty, then you can't get anything from God. If you were guilty, if you did abuse your body, then you ask God to forgive you. Remember some of the Psalms he read? Heal me because I've sinned. Right? That's going hand in hand. I've confessed my sin. Now heal me and restore me, God. Make me whole. But if you somehow open the door to the devil, let me say this. Many times, just sin in our lives, period, even unrelated, totally unrelated to everything I just talked about, totally unrelated to the health care of the body, totally unrelated to emotional stability, totally unrelated to that, just sin in the life obviously weakens us in our defenses against anything from the devil, and obviously weakens our confidence in God's ability to stand on our side. You're not going to go running to God in confidence when your conscience is convicting you because of sin in your life. So I'll give you an example. Let's say yesterday, on your way home from work, you had just gotten through praying about your temper and proper attitude and words that proceeded out of your mouth. On the way home from work, you got in a terrible traffic jam and somebody cut you off. And you actually cursed at the guy. You hadn't cursed for 20 years. You got so mad, you cursed it. You rolled out the window and you cursed at him. And then later that night, you started to feel flu symptoms. You would not be so readily able to ask God to heal you or to resist the devil or to just say, Father, I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to trust you. You know, you wouldn't be so readily able to do that. Even if you asked God to forgive you, right after the thing happened, you'd still feel somehow polluted. And you'd still have that attitude, well, I'm just kind of getting what I deserve. Now, I'm not saying you have to have that attitude, and of course the thing to do is live right. But the fact is, if there's persistent sin, if you're continually disobeying in a certain area, it's going to be very difficult for you to stand on the Word in faith. Okay? And you ought not to be able to stand on the Word in faith if you're living in continual willful disobedience. So if there is a problem, you take care of it. You genuinely repent, and you get your heart right with God. And you get your conscience clear with God so that you know you're forgiven, and that you can stand again in God's righteous armor and say that no weapon formed against you will prosper. So you find yourself sick. Whatever the reason was, right now everything is fine between you and God. You love Him, you know He loves you. Your heart's clear. You're not living in willful disobedience. You're not abusing yourself. You didn't open the door wide through sin. So everything's fine between you and God. But you find yourself sick. How do you deal with it? First thing, in no particular order, but let me say first thing. Nowhere does the Word teach you to deny physical reality. You need to understand that. It's not taught in the Word. Paul said, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. He didn't say, I left him healed, quotes, and they had to figure out what he meant. I know one pastor said that, you know, he'd wake up in the morning and his wife would say to him, how do you do it? How are you doing? And he'd say, Jesus took my sicknesses and carried my... Rather than say, pray for me or agree with me, he felt that to even acknowledge anything would be detrimental. Now, people came to Jesus, well, take James 5. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation, etc. Well, what are you supposed to do? Call up and say, I'm calling in reference to that scripture in James, but I can't tell you why. Why doesn't James just say if they're any, quote, healed, because he's afraid to say the word sick? No, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging a reality and praying for it. We all understand that. But sometimes, because we understand it's so important to speak according to the Word and speak what's right and not be negative and not give glory to sickness and not present some terrible case that is going to be faith-destroying, sometimes people have gone to a weird extreme. Also, the Bible does not distinguish... Listen to me carefully. The Bible does not distinguish between sickness and symptoms. There's no such thing in the Bible as having lying symptoms. Okay? I mean, if you find it to be in the Bible, I'll believe it. I base what I teach on the Word as best as I can. But there's no such thing in the Bible about lying symptoms. And, you know, I joked about this years ago to try and help people understand it. But I gave the scenario of this lady calls her nephew and they're talking on the phone. He says, well, how's Uncle Charlie doing? And she says, oh, Uncle Charlie's real sick. And he says, don't you understand yet? He's not sick. He just has lying symptoms. She said, oh, I think I got it. I think I understand. She said, because once we spoke the word, then he's no longer sick. He just has lying symptoms, right? She goes, right, you finally got it. About 6 months later, they're on the phone talking. He says, hey, how's Uncle Charlie doing? She says, oh, he has lying death. Now, I say that just to say how silly it is. I mean, if it's all a lie, then why did you bury the person? Why do you acknowledge death if the whole thing is just a lie? Now, I'm going to talk about how to appropriate by faith in a minute, but I just want to spare us from being silly and making unnecessary errors. Okay? Now, so you don't mistake what I'm saying, let me say this absolutely very clearly. The other day, Nancy asked me a question about finances. I forget what it was, personal or the school or the ministry or something. And she said, how are the finances? And I smiled at her. I said, thank God for His abundant supply. She said, okay, I got the answer. Now, I did it with a smile. I wasn't trying to deny something, but I was just saying, hey, listen, we're not looking at the finances. We're looking at God who supplies our needs, and that's the end of the story. Amen? Amen. So it's perfectly right to say, listen, I'd rather not talk about how I feel. I'd rather talk about the fact of God's healing. I'd rather that you stand in agreement with me that He's the Lord, our healer, and take sickness out of our midst, etc., etc. No one says, and I'm the last one to do it, how are you feeling, Mike? Let me check. I thought I was feeling right, but let me check. A little crick in the back of the neck there. Throat's a little sore. And I bend all the way back. I feel it down in the back. Said, let me check out. Give me 1 minute. I'll check out the rest. And you start doing deep knee bend. No, I'd be the last one to do that. And in fact, one time, when there was someone close to me, and the devil was really trying to attack them and say that they had a serious disease, I refused to even name the thing. I refused to even give it credence. I said, no, we've prayed, we believe the devil can't touch you, and that's the end of the story. I wouldn't even name the thing or mention the thing. But there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. Let's say you're sneezing, but you actually sneezed on somebody, okay? So you can't deny that it was a lying symptom, all right? And you're coughing and your eyes are all bloodshot. And someone says, oh, you have a cold? There's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, but I asked God to heal me. I believe I've got it and I'm getting stronger. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging it. In fact, it brings reproach to God and to the whole message of faith when we stand there and say, oh, no, I don't have a cold. Or we feel it's so critically important that we say, well, I'm fighting it. As if the little difference of words is going to make us sicker. See, I very strongly believe in the power of the tongue. In fact, we had a special guest, you know, the best person I could find to teach on it so that we get that drilled home. But because there's so much weird stuff that circulates around on the subject, I need to make things real clear. I'm not into magical superstition. If someone says to me, well, I don't know if you're really the man for the job. I don't say, I bind those words. And I have the angels go and wrestle them out of the air. I'm not worried about it. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, according to Isaiah 54:17, second half of the verse, I'll condemn. I don't have to worry about that. I recognize how words can damage and destroy and hurt. But if there are people out there praying against me, what am I going to do? Lose sleep over it? If there are people out there speaking against what I'm doing for God or what you're doing for God, what are you going to do? Worry about it, that there's going to be some little thing just kind of fall on your head because of it? It says in the book of Proverbs that the curse without cause will not come to rest. That's the right way to translate it. Will not come to rest. If there's no legitimate cause and you're walking right with God, the thing can't rest on you. So in order to be healed, we do not have to deny that there's a problem. When the disciples were confronted with this demoniac boy and they couldn't heal him, they couldn't drive the spirit out, and they said to Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out? They acknowledged they couldn't do it. And the father said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. The father acknowledged it, and Jesus acknowledged it by rebuking everybody for their unbelief. Why didn't Jesus just say to the father, oh, he's healed? Did the disciples minister to him? Yeah, well, then he's healed. Take him. He acknowledged he still wasn't healed. Appropriating things by faith is not just saying the words. Appropriating things by faith is not just going through the motions. Well, Father, according to Mark 11:24, I ask, therefore I receive, I believe, and I have it. End of story. If you know that you believed, then you know you have it, and you'll get it. It's that simple. But the most prominent faith teacher in the world said, in my own hearing, if you're confessing you're healing 20 years later and you're still sick, obviously you missed something somewhere. So, don't get this idea that you have to deny reality. The fact is, God has the answer. God has something that's greater. God has something that can change natural reality to be in conformity with His will. Now, if we want to, quote, appropriate the Word by faith, we want to appropriate the Word by faith, how do we do it? How do we go about doing it? Can you just indiscriminately say all the time, by His stripes I was healed? Can you go around saying that all the time without appropriating it by faith? Is that what the Word says? Can you just speak a scripture, and if you speak it enough, it will automatically happen? Is that how it works? How do I do it? I mean, here's the Word. We found out the Word is God's medicine. It's life to our body. How do we do it? How do we make it work? And what's the purpose of speaking it and reciting it and saying it? Is that magical superstition? Or is that a healthy thing to do? Or is it automatic? I mean, if I took two cold pills and I didn't speak that I took them, I didn't tell anybody I took them, I didn't acknowledge it with my lips, would they still have an effect on my body? Basically, yes, they would. Is that the way it is with Scripture, that if I just say it enough because it's medicine, it's going to happen? Or should I not say it at all until I'm sure? How do I handle it? Well, let's look at a few verses first. Psalm 107:20, a verse you probably all know, talks about the children of Israel in their affliction in the wilderness. God sent His word and healed them. What that means is He gave the decree. Okay? It doesn't mean that there was a scripture verse floating through the air and they all looked at it and recited it and they were healed. He sent His word to heal. In other words, He decreed it, He said it, the word went forth and it healed them. But there's that notion there of the healing word from God's mouth being spoken. So when you get over to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 20, and by the way, Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 7 and 8, are verses that tell you if you live in wisdom and the fear of the Lord, you're not wise in your own eyes, but you fear Him and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. But you get over to the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health, or a healing cure, to a man's whole body. Now, on the one hand, the first part of this, that the words of God are life to those that find them, you don't understand really easily. For example, it'll teach you how to stay out of trouble. It'll teach you against running with the wrong crowd. Teach you to walk with the righteous. It'll teach you practical ways to live so that you can keep on living and not die prematurely. So these words are life to those that find them, but they're also a healing cure to a man's whole body. So it's presupposing a sick body that is now going to be healed through these words. How are the scriptures a healing cure to a man's whole body? Well, some of the ways we mentioned before about mental and emotional state and telling you how to live, and certain things can tend towards healing and long life and other things tend toward death and sickness. But in more ways than that are the words of God healing. Let's say we apply this promise not just to the book of Proverbs and wisdom of God, but we apply it to the whole of the Word. How is all of the Word potentially healing for us? If we understand that God's Word is God speaking to us, it's charged with His very life as we receive it by faith, it's different than any other book. That builds up our spirit, just taking the Word, any part of the Word whatsoever. As we take it in by faith and digest it and meditate on it, it becomes part of our life. We are receiving life. Our spirits are getting built up and strengthened. But there are specific promises that God has given. And the way that we renew our mind to the Word is by setting the Word before us, by getting it in our heart, by memorization, keeping it on our lips by repetition, living it out in obedience. So God told Joshua, the way that you will defeat the Canaanites, the way that you'll prosper and be successful, is to do everything that's written in the words of this Torah. But how was he going to do everything that was written in it? That's why God said to him, this book of teaching, this book of the Torah, shall not depart from your lips, but you will recite it, repeat it, mutter it, day and night, so that you can be careful to do everything that's written in it. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then the same exhortations in the New Testament. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. And then it tells us how we should speak, reflecting that. What I'm saying is very basic. It's not a magical, superstitious thing to repeat the word and speak it. It is an aid to memory. It is an aid to obedience. It is an aid to faith. Again, anything you do, I don't care if it's read the Bible or speak in tongues or give your life to be burned. If you do it outside of a relationship with God, If you do it outside of your love walk with God and outside of faith and dependence on Him, it is worthless and meaningless. But if we do this as part of our relationship with the Father, we start to focus on the Word. Father, You are the Lord, my healer. You take sickness out of my midst. You start to repeat it over. You say it again. You have it in your heart memorized. Maybe you have the scriptures on the wall. You look at it. And then you focus on it. Many times as I'll read a verse, I'll have to say it and think about it. And just pray and meditate on it silently for a while. And let that thing digest and become real to me. Consider what it says. Look at it. Get understanding. See where I have questions. Pray the questions through in my heart as I meditate on what the Word says. As you do that, several things are happening. One is you're getting built up in the inner man. And as you get built up in the inner man, it's going to have its effect on the outer man. How many times have you seen when your attitude changed and your desire to go on changed, or your motivation changed, that healing came so much more quickly? How many times have you seen when you just refuse to give place to sickness because you're going to take hold of what God says and go forward, and you're not going to quit and you persevere, the thing just broke and left instantly, or in a couple hours or less? Someone was telling me when they had sought to put into practice my little motto about speaking in tongues, an hour a day keeps the devil away, and they were seeking to do it. They said one morning they woke up with a terrible cold. Now look, colds don't go away in an hour or in a day. If it's a genuine cold, you know it, you've had it, you've experienced it, it doesn't just go away instantly. And she woke up and she just felt terrible and stuffy nose and all the other symptoms that go with it. And she just said, if I will persevere and pray through and stay on my knees and pray in tongues for an hour, whether it was on her knees or not, don't remember. She said, I know I'll be well when I'm through. And she said she was. She prayed through, she held on to it, and she was healed. I remember one time I came home from teaching in the afternoon. I was tired. And I felt like I was coming down. Well, I was coming down with a cold. And I just wanted to lay down and go to sleep. Generally, when you feel sick, that's what you like to do, is just rest or stop doing what you have to do. And I remember I was going to do that. After, it happened once in an afternoon thing, once in an evening, but the stories were both similar. And what I decided to do was force myself, instead of going to sleep, force myself to just stay up for a little while and read scriptures on healing, basically all of which I knew, but just to read them again and refresh my heart, refresh my mind. And then, just as I was falling asleep, to continue to quote one of the promises, one of the assurances that God had spoken. And both times, once just after a real short nap and the other after going to sleep at night, both times I woke up totally fine. You see, there was that desire, right? Let me just take this in. These words are life. These words are, as it said, medicine. And by looking at it and focusing on it and speaking it forth, it's not a magical, mechanical formula, as some people have misrepresented it to be, or they've misheard teaching on it and thought that's what people were saying. No, this is life. This is God's truth. This is God's Word. Let me focus on it. Let me digest it. Let me take it in. Let me absorb it. As I do that, strength and faith are built up within me. Now, what about, by His stripes you were healed? Does the Scripture say that you and I were already healed, and therefore we can't be sick? So if we feel sick, it's really a lie because we're already healed. Let's take a look at what the Scripture says, and then let me share an incident out of my own life. Aside from here and there, the water spilled. It didn't spill on me. It was only water. Hallelujah. For those of you who didn't see it, just ignore it ever happened. So you don't get the wrong idea. Every so often, because of my schedule, I don't properly take care of myself. I hope to take better care of myself in the future. And because of that, I've gotten run down a few times and gotten minor problems. You know, colds, sore throat like this, real, real, real rare. All right, so if I use this illustration, don't get the idea that I get sick a lot. It's just as I don't take care of myself. The other thing is, my nose was broken several times, just growing up, running around, playing different things. And the more it got broken, the more prone it was to getting broken because it was just a little bit too big. You understand? And anyway, what happened was that that caused some other things. I don't breathe that well through my nose. It hasn't been a faith issue to me, basically, because I know the way it happened. I guess I assume if I ever just want to get it fixed, I would. Otherwise, I'd make a determination, okay, I'm just going to believe for healing in this thing. But I haven't wrestled with it. But because of that, a lot of times, basically all the time, I breathe through my mouth. When you breathe through your mouth and you get run down, et cetera, you can more easily open the door for nasal and throat-related problems, all right? Basically, I'm totally healthy, fine, strong, without a problem, except for these couple little things where I could maybe one time have ducked, and from there on, just take a little bit better care of myself. And by the way, there have been specific times when I've made commitments, Lord, I'm gonna not have, you know, sweets for a period of time, and then justified having it, and immediately, I've had it happen, I know one time, immediately as I ate that chocolate Dunkin' donut, I got sick. And then the M&Ms really did me in. But let me share an instance out of my own life and tell you what happened to me about 4.5 years ago. In January of 84, God had done some new things in me and I'd come into a new sense of divine authority. And as I was moving forward, out of the blue, I got really sick. I was teaching the Christ for the Nations. I got 104 fever. I mean, out of the blue, got laid out. Remember, prayed, took some Tylenol, went to sleep. Next morning, I woke up, and Nancy kind of looked at me like, what, you're not going to work? And I said, I'm going. I got up, took a shower, went, and was fine. But it was kind of out of the blue. There were a couple of times just out of the blue, attacks hit. And then there was a series of things took place. One time that just a financial collapse seemed to happen and windows started leaking and Jennifer fell real bad and hurt her head. Second time she'd hit it that day. And I came home feeling sick. It was another out of the blue attack. And I went to sleep, got up the next morning, prayed, meditated on the word, took authority over the enemy. Everything changed. Everything lifted. Everyone, including the window, stopped leaking. Every one of the ones changed right at that point. But then after that, I got real sick again a few months later. Another 104 fever. So this is the third time in maybe a 4 or 5 month period that I got attacked like this. Came down with this 104 fever. Didn't leave. I went to see a doctor. And by the way, the time to be exercising your faith and believing the word is before you're sick. At the first sign of sickness is the time to even activate things more. Because once you get real sick, a lot of times you just hope somebody else has faith. Do you understand? I mean, that's reality, okay? That's where it's a tough fight, okay? Someone said to me, I don't understand it. I find it so much easier to pray for somebody else than for myself. I said, what's the mystery? You don't feel their pain. You don't feel what they're going. That's not real. All you do is see what the Word says. It's easier to pray in the natural. It's easier to pray for someone with an internal problem than an external problem. God will heal both just the same, but sometimes, because we can't see it, you know, the person says, I've got cancer spread throughout my whole stomach. Well, you can't see it. You don't believe it. You don't give credence to it. The word says healing. Fine, that's the end of it. Somebody else could come up with a little mole on their eyelid and say, I'm getting married tomorrow. And this thing just sprung up. You know, could you believe God with me for this thing? You know, you'd see it, and that may be more terrifying to you than some terrible condition that you can't see. Back along the lines of common sense, by the way, you do know the story I've told you before, but just to remind you, of the woman that came to Gordon Lindsay, founder of Christ for the Nations in Dallas, worked together with many of the well-known evangelists to this day and helped some of them get started. And a woman came in to him, and huge, big, large woman, you get the idea, and said, she said, brother, I'm getting married tomorrow, and I'd like you to pray for me that my weight would get down to normal. He said, I'm sorry, sister. This only comes out by prayer and fasting. Maybe he should have said, this only comes off by prayer and fasting. And listen, I understand fully that so many, quote, Christian activities are centered around food. Table fellowship. After the good meeting, you go out and get something to eat. After the bad meeting, you go out and get something to eat. You know, and the singles dinner, and the couples dinner, and the family, you know, and all that stuff. And then the other thing is, even more subtly, is that we're not allowed to indulge the flesh. Can't drink, can't smoke, can't get high. If you get really angry, you have to put it down. Can't indulge the flesh. Got to keep yourself totally clean and pure sexually, you know. But it doesn't say in the Bible that I can't have a nice piece of apple pie. Then you say, am I projecting? No, I don't like apple pie. So that's just for those that aren't chocoholics. There's something for you to chew on, all right? But I mean, it's kind of this thing. It's built in. Well, let me give myself a break. I've done that. You know, I'm pushing, going 18 hours every day and just pushing hard and preaching and laying my life down. And at least let me just have a brownie or something like that, you know. No, I won't say that. So anyhow, I was sick for a week. Now, every day I went in to teach. I'd feel better. The fever would break. You know, I'd go in to teach. By the last day, I had to sit down in a chair to teach. I was so weak. I went down to the faculty meeting, and people came up to me and said, what are you doing here? Apparently I looked green or something. What are you doing here? So I went home, and it had been a solid week now, and now it was just getting ridiculous. Every day the fever would go up to 104 and then down, you know, be broken through, you know, some Tylenol and penicillin and up and down. And up. So finally, you know, nobody was standing in such a way that said, listen, we've prayed through. We know it's done. I certainly wasn't standing in any kind of faith. And I didn't know why I'd gotten attacked like this. So went back to this doctor. And I felt like my body was on a torture rack. Just felt terrible. And went back to this doctor and he checked. And I had real severe pneumonia in both lungs. And he said, you're going to have to go to the hospital. That was kind of distressing news to hear. I mean, here I was teaching faith, I thought, or certainly ministering it to people, ministering healing. And people looked to me at the school as strong in faith and all this stuff. Now I got to go to the hospital. I was born in the hospital, I had my tonsils out, that was it. You know, never had an occasion to, I got to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital that night and laying there in the bed, first thing I did was I came to a determination in my heart. Now, I didn't feel condemned. I was discouraged because I'd been pretty sick for a week. I mean, it's kind of brutal to have the fever go up and down and up and down like that in your body. But I want to find out why I got sick. What happened? How did this happen? It's not supposed to happen. No one can tell me according to the word it's supposed to happen. So I got set in my heart before God. The first thing I said was this. I said, it doesn't matter. A million years from now, a billion years, 50 billion, whatever the figure was in my mind, when there hasn't been anyone sick in God's kingdom for all those millions and millions and millions and millions of years, God is not going to be any more the healer then than He is now. It's not going to be any more true then that He's the healer than it is true right now that He's the healer. He said it. He is. That it. That settles it. So I said, fine, that much I know. My faith wasn't shattered. There was no question, does He heal? There was no question about that whatsoever. It was just, okay, how come I got sick? Wasn't condemned, just wanted to figure out what had happened. And by the way, while I was in the hospital, I got to share with a couple of people and pray with them to receive the Lord, but you can't tell me I was in the hospital for their sake either. I believe that God could have just spoken to me, go to the hospital and share the gospel with people, and I gladly would have done it. Or He could have raised up other people and go, He didn't make me sick to send me there. That wasn't an option. Question was, why was I sick?